And hello, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman bringing you another episode of Espresso Tech Sips. And I've been talking about in this series from a coach's perspective. And let me make sure that everybody understands when I'm talking about coaching, of course, there's enterprise and transformation coaches, and that's what I do. But under that umbrella, I also see anyone that's influencing the team. And so that also includes your scrum masters. They have a lot of influence. So their title is embedded in their title and their role is coaching of the team. But it doesn't stop there. Any leadership that is connected with the people on the team. And so I often see that you have the engineering manager, you have the QA manager, the design manager. People on the teams directly report to them. They don't necessarily or never have I've seen where they report to the scrum master or report to the product manager, but there are some configurations that are like that. But by and large, I see it you reporting to a separate manager from your scrum master, from your product manager, and even from your project manager. But these are all influencers. So these coaching tips I'm giving, they apply to all of those influencers. Because the goal ultimately is we also be steering them in the same direction. And sometimes that requires some coordination. And that's why you do have an enterprise coach or why you have a PMO office that's making sure that all those individual influencers are working and driving in the same direction. A famous term that I borrow from one of my very early clients is, we don't always have to agree, but we need to align because we don't want to cause confusion to the team. If the team is confused, sometimes it's because leadership isn't aligned, and that takes some intentional effort. But one thing that, as an enterprise coach, with any group of people, in order to get them aligned, you need to have that common denominator. And one of the things in Agile and that influencing of the team, empowering of the team, is using metrics, showing them and providing them and together leveraging metrics. And most of you who are using a tool, whether it's Jira or version 1, that isn't just there so that it can collect data. It's supposed to be churning that data so that you have information and in the form of a dashboard. And I use the analogy of the dashboard is like the dashboard in your car. Can you imagine trying to drive long distance to any destination and not having your dashboard? Not knowing how much gas you have, how far you are going, the speed in which you're going, approximate time of when you're going to arrive, and what is even the health of the car that you're operating. All of those things. I mean, just recently, real life example, cars are so advanced. I get a text message. I'm sitting in the passenger seat of my car. I get a text message that one of my tires was low because that's one of the ways it alerts me. This is what a dashboard, this is what Jira should do for those influencers and those coaches. It should give you early warning signs so that you can not fix the problem. This is where team empowerment comes in. You provide that information to the team and help coach them, help influence them to have needed conversations to decide how they want to react to this situation, to this new information or this warning about their progress toward their end goal. And so one of the things is, a lot of organizations operating agile, especially when we talk about maturity, you know, if there's a, by and large, there's kind of a five-tier maturity model that you can pull and derive and tweak it to make it work for you. But these maturity models, by the time you get to what I'm going to call level three, then you need to be driving your conversations, your decisions, your negotiation, your strategy. You need to be influencing the team through these metrics. And so everybody knows about the metric as far as velocity, burn down. They know about, but maybe that's where it ends. And maybe for some, that's even a stretch. And in some cases, people are afraid of metrics. They think that this number, it's going to show some type of negative direction that the team is going. And so let's avoid that number. That's just like thinking of if you're driving your car and you want to avoid looking at your the gas meter that tells you how full your gas tank is. If I just ignore it, then I won't have any bad news and I'll just keep driving. Well, what's going to happen? If you ignore the amount of gas in your car, the car is still going to stop. Well, that's the same with your projects. If you ignore your metrics, you're still going to miss your deadline and you're still going to have people that are frustrated and upset and disappointed. All those things are going to still happen. It's not the metric that make them upset or disappointed. The metric actually can help you prevent and have some early conversations to be more informed. And that's really the key here is having those conversations earlier. That shows maturity. Not let's wait and see, or let's hope for the best, or we usually can make it, even, you know, when all indicators tell us we can't. Let's just, at the last minute, we'll just pull a small miracle. That's not maturity. It's just the opposite. It's very haphazard. It's not predictable. It's not reliable. And sometimes you're just relying on brute force and energy of the team. And that brute force leads to a lot of burnout. So don't be afraid of metrics. And starting with the leadership. If the leadership is afraid of it, then imagine the team is going to inherit that same kind of mindset toward metrics. And there's a lot more, you know, velocity, burn down. They only tell a piece of the story. And this may be why people, have maybe negative feelings toward velocity, for example, which velocity shows us how much we're able to complete. And then over time, historically, your velocity number might be 40. Now, people, for two reasons. One, they may have seen this being abused where people try to take the velocity and think that a sign of getting better is that we got to keep increasing this number. That's not what velocity is meant to do. It's meant to let it tell you, let it the number fall where it may. And if it falls at a steady 40, when all the team members are available and present and have no distractions, but it's actually that baseline, you back down off of that when there's a holiday or vacation or there's training or you're onboarding. All of those things reduce your velocity. So, but you have a strong baseline, and then from there, you're backing down off of it. So the velocity should fluctuate, and over time, even now, you can build up a history to know what even months or weeks or sprints can you predict that your velocity is going to dip. If you've been doing Agile for a while, and you did it last November and December, you should be able to look back and see, well, we took about a 25% dip, 40% dip because of the holidays, the vacations, code freeze, end of year ceremonies and such. If you know that, then that's information, valuable information that you can be planning for fourth quarter. And I would use that information in third quarter to say, you know what? We need to already know exactly what we want to complete in fourth quarter, because we know it's not going to be full capacity. So don't create a roadmap where you have the same amount of work in fourth quarter as you do in second or third quarter, because history told us that it doesn't work that way. So that's the type of information. So I challenge whoever is helping to educate and develop the influencers around your Agile team. Make sure that they're comfortable with metrics. Make sure that you guys do a deep dive on Jira and their reporting. It's very robust. Creating dashboards, that's what it's there for. Don't put don't put data in and not get information out. Make Jira work for you. And I'm using Jira because that's the most recent. I've also used version 1, very comfortable with it. It also has very robust reporting. Even if you have to go back and take an advanced class, because too often we get introduced to great tools and we get accustomed to about 10% of its functionality, and we don't realize that there's these other very important pieces that really is the true payoff of having these tools. So again, I'd like to see influencers more leveraging the metrics, the data, the dashboard, and then making sure the team is comfortable with it. It shouldn't be something that you have to show the team more than once or twice before they're incorporating it into their ceremonies, into their retrospectives, into their review, into their planning, into their daily stand-up. This is the insight. We're always talking about high-performing teams, and a high-performing team needs a high-performing dashboard to help steer. You provide them with the dashboard, the information, help them learn how to read it, and then as they're reading the signs, then helping them to determine, okay, how do we mitigate these situations? This is how influencers help with the growth and development, the maturity, maturing of Agile teams. Data-driven decisions, data-driven empowerment. That's the only true team empowerment. It's not just teams deciding whether or not they're going to have daily stand-ups. That's a level one conversation. Your retrospectives, as you get to level 3, level 4, they need to be data-driven, dashboard-centric conversations for continuous improvement. That's my challenge to you for today. Let me know how it goes. Feel free to give me feedback. And thanks for listening. This is Jacqueline Sanders-Blackman with Technology Espresso Consulting. Thanks for joining.